B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Why not test free agency and give yourself another opportunity with another team at that time?
No, it's not. It's not even about, you know, testing or doing certain things. It's just knowing it's a standard, right? And, you know, for me, you know, the Patriots organization has been, you know, impeccable, you know, with the, also with the addition of, you know, Patricia, you know, he's been great as well. You know, just so my time has been there has just been, you know, everything I could have asked for, you know, is, I guess it's now, you know, time for me to uphold my end of the bargain through and through and, you know, doing everything that I know I'm capable of doing and staying all in my wheelhouse. So I think that's what it comes down to, you know, as far as the expectations from, you know, what I've expected from Bill and, you know, Josh and those guys, they've been excellent. And, you know, we're just going to keep pushing forward.
You're asking me, I think Cam Newton has already upheld his end of the bargain. Comments like that are him upholding his end of the bargain. Patriots have been impeccable, says Cam Newton. Bill Belichick, the experience, and now with Matt Patricia aboard, Murray.
Oh, yes.
Now with Matt Patricia aboard, you know, again, it's been an impeccable experience there. That was Cam Newton this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. That's Keyshawn Johnson's talk show on ESPN. 617-779-0985 is the number. But I do want to get to these comments by Cam Newton, because, again, Keyshawn asked him about free agency. Why not test the market? And he starts talking about how New England's impeccable and why would I want to leave? And I just, the timing of it is convenient. The timing is convenient.
Sure is.
I mean, you got Cassius Marsh going out there shredding the Patriots. Horrible place to play. They don't treat their players well. I had to sneak in meals between meetings, jam food in a cup and scarf it down on the way. The whole nine yards. Nobody likes the Patriots. I'm one of the five most hated people there. Blah, 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 blah. Then Cam Newton comes out within a matter of days on ESPN, is asked about free agency and talks about how the whole Patriots experience has been impeccable. Am I putting anything together there, Murray, that does deserve to be put together?
No, it deserves to be put together. It's a clear counter to what Cassius Marsh said. In the you know why? Because the precedent was already set for this Baghdad Bob Act last year when the team is in the middle of a tailspin in mid-November. And Cam Newton starts spouting off about Bill being the football whisperer. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bill had God in his Rolodex. You remember all this?
Oh, sure.
So that was happening when everyone around here and nationally started doubting Belichick and the Patriots. And then Cam swoops in like Superman and has his own PR spin. And that's not to say that Bill asked him. I don't believe in anything like that. But I do think that Cam Newton is doing this out of some kind of loyalty for Belichick. And that's because Bill gave him his last shot in the NFL to start as quarterback. And that's it. No one else was going to do that. Bill Belichick did that. And now he's Bill's buddy and he's loyal to him. So he's going to defend him. That's what this is.
Knows where his bread is buttered, right?
Right.
And if you want to win the job, well, you better kiss some ass around here because no one else is doing that. No one else is sucking up to Bill Belichick outside of, you know, the teacher's pet, Matt Slater, and maybe the rookie Mac Jones. Like, how many guys are sucking up to Bill and, you know, Cam's been willing to do that over and over again. It's probably part of the reason he's been back or been brought back for a second year.
See, I don't think there's any way around the fact that Cam's doing Bill a solid. Like, no matter how you look at it, whether the appearance on the show was arranged by the Patriots or not. And when I say arranged by the Patriots, does ESPN go to the Patriots, say, hey, we'd like to get Cam Newton on the show? Or does Keyshawn reach out to Cam directly and say, we'd like to get you on the show because
they have a relationship? I'm sure they're like, hey, you know what we need on the show today? Cam Newton. Cam Newton's moving the needle. We need Cam Newton on there.
Okay, but it's a slow time of year, Jones.
True. My point is, my argument would be more likely that maybe the Patriots are like, let's get it out there a little bit.
Okay.
Whether it's in relation to Cassius Marsh's comments, I don't know, but maybe they're pushing their brand a little bit.
And I would tell you that, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters. Because I think even if the Patriots didn't facilitate it, Cam knew what to do. Cam knew what to say because it's already been established at this point what the relationship is between him and Bill and him and the organization, and they have treated him well. And so you're going to be our ambassador. That's what you're going to be. In addition to being our quarterback, you're going to be our ambassador. And you're going to make it, you're going to improve or uphold our image around the league, and you're going to help us get players in here. At the same time, it's been said before here on these airwaves and on this station, Keyshawn Johnson has a very good relationship with somebody inside the Patriots organization.
Good point.
And in fact, I think either Keyshawn was in this person's wedding or the other way around, right? Like, so is there any chance that the Patriots reached out to Keyshawn and said, hey, how would you feel about having Cam on the show this week? Things are kind of slow. You'll get him out there. So, but again, at the end of the day, I don't think that that part of it matters, because I think even if Newton, I mean, it does matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. I think Newton knows what to do either way. The part that matters is if the Patriots took the initiative in the wake of the Marsh comments, which again, as we said yesterday, Murray, Bill's probably more sensitive to this kind of stuff than he may have been in the past.
Yeah, that's fine. That's well within their right to do that, and they should push back. They absolutely should. But again, I just want to reiterate for me, like, I don't think that they went to Cam or Bill went to Cam and said, you know, say good things about me after what this a-hole said. No, I just think that he feels indebted to Bill because he's given him this second chance, or really third, because I never thought he'd be back this year.
It's like Joe Judge. Like, Joe Judge just knew what to do, right? When he was on the Peter Schrager, Sean McVay podcast, right. whatever that's called. I forget the name of the podcast. Like, Joe Judge knew what to do. Kiss the rings. Bill Belichick / Nick Saban is why I'm here in the first place. So I'm going to say nice things about him. And that way, you know, when I get fired from the Giants in a couple of years, I can come crawling back like McDaniels or like Patricia or whomever else. So, I mean, Joe Judge knows. Same logic there with Cam Newton. He doesn't need to be explicitly told. You know what to do.
So Newton said today also on the appearance that, you know, a year in, he's a little more comfortable. He feels like all the repetition does matter, and he's in a position now to be a better player. Do you believe him?
No.
I mean, I'm sure he's more comfortable. The better player part, I'm with Murray. No.
He's done. He's done, guys. Like, again, this has been a downward trend for him the last few years. There's a reason that the Carolina Panthers said to the biggest star in that franchise's history and said, we're good here, because they saw that he was done. He's done.
So there's a lot. I have no faith in Newton being able to run this offense with any type of efficiency. None whatsoever. And there is some stuff out there as it pertains to the Patriots offense that is interesting that's come out in the last 24 hours, which we'll get to here in a minute. But let's take a couple of phone calls, and then we'll get to that and continue the discussion on Cam and on the Patriots offense and what the expectations are for them going into the year. Tom is in Boston. Go ahead, Tom. No, Tom, are we going to do this again?
Oh, boy.
Are they giving away concert tickets again? Is this the
probably.
Deal?
Probably. What'd you call it yesterday, Murray? The
ticket weasel.
Yeah, the WROR ticket weasel.
Yeah, the ticket. It could be a ticket weasel.
Time to win two tickets to paradise to see Eddie Money. Is he still alive, actually?
Well, I don't know.
It's a good question. I think Eddie Money is still alive, though. I'll have to look that up.
No.
He's kaput?
September 13th, 2019.
Wow.
Never mind. We're not giving those away.
Steve is in Boston on the Bruins in the expansion draft. Good, Steve.
Here we go. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Aye. Well, while we're not taking phone calls here, Tony, I did want to bring something up about Cam. You were out Monday, and Big Jim and I were discussing a video that Cam released
last Friday.
Yeah, late last week or over the weekend, I was going to say. And, you know, he's doing the same stuff he did in this interview. Oh, I feel great. Oh, I feel awesome. You've never seen this Cam before, like he was doing in his Instagram videos last offseason. The video they released last week was from last September. It was from last September. Yeah. He's like driving around in the car.
Talking about how his shoulder feels great.
Smoking like a chimney, by the way. Just like, you know, just ripping on this cigar on the way back and forth to Foxborough. I don't know which way they were going. Or they were going to the stadium, excuse me. And, you know, he says, oh, yeah, I feel so great. You know, it's been 5 years since I've been healthy. It was shot in September. And then he went out and sucked and got worse all year. So, like, we've heard this from Cam. We heard this last offseason from Cam. We heard it in a video that I would have turfed. I never would have brought to the air. But they decided to release it last week. It's from last September with him bragging about how healthy he feels and how comfortable he is and how great of an organization. Like, he's been doing this for like 5 years. Murray's right. He's done. He was a great quarterback. Maybe not elite. outside of his MVP year, he was a great quarterback. I loved the signing when they brought him in last year because I thought there was something left in the tank. Stupid me, I hadn't watched him. There's nothing left. His shoulder's cooked. He can't move the same way. He's not the same quarterback anymore. So if you could get Cam from 5 years ago, great. You can't. He's been trying to do that for 5 years. And who, by the way, has a shoulder injury that's still lingering 5 years later and then expects to all of a sudden get right? It's been bothering you for 5 years. You're done. You're done.
Yeah, Jones, the reason they use the same videos is because now it's true. Right. COVID, he doesn't have COVID anymore.
Now he feels, yeah.
Yeah, he's feeling better.
Yeah, why did he suck against Vegas before he got COVID?
Now he knows the offense, though, Murray, yeah.
Okay, so Cam Newton did, as I said, Cam Newton did say some other things during his interview this morning with Keyshawn Johnson and did surprisingly, I would say, take some accountability. Is that a good way to put it? For things going sideways with the Patriots last year. But more importantly, the question is, what kind of offense are the Patriots going to have, regardless of who the quarterback is, whether it's Cam, Mac Jones? And we have some data, dare I say, or...
data?
Data. I say data, you say data. It's which one is it?
No, I'm just screwing with you.
Oh, no, I say data. We have some data that questions just how good the Patriots are going to be, regardless who is a quarterback. We'll get to that next on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass. Austin's home for sports, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you think you played as a whole just from last year when you self-checked yourself and self-evaluated yourself? How do you think you played?
How? Obviously not good enough. And there's things that, you know, you can't get better at. There are things that, you know, I know I will get better at. And it's just trusting in yourself, trusting in coaching and believing in the process of keeping it all in the wheelhouse. So, you know, once that's understood, then, you'll be A-okay.
Cam Newton. Assessing his own performance last year with the Patriots. Obviously not good enough, he says. Which I think we all agree with. In fact, that's putting it mildly. He was nowhere near good enough. Their passing attack sucked. They were one of the worst passing offenses in football last year. And we can blame the weapons all we want. But the fact is, the quarterback wasn't good either. Which is obvious. Now, the belief is that the weapons are better this year. And they are. I mean, comparatively speaking, they are. Murray, I still question how good the weapons are, period. I've said this over and over again. I think that we all got giddy and geeked up about the idea that they've added all of these weapons to this offense, when the reality is, I'm not sure how good some of these guys are anyway. I don't know how good Jonnu Smith really is. I think Hunter Henry's okay. He's a pretty good player. But it's not like he's George Kittle.
No, it would be silly to put him, you know, on par with someone like that or even Gronk at his best. But compared to what they had last year, it can't be any worse.
Okay, so but that's the point, Murray, right? That's the point, is that compared to what they had last year, their roster was so freaking bad last year that anything looks like an upgrade. So what I'm asking is, are these guys really as good as we think we are, as we think they are? And so earlier in the week, we noted that ESPN has been doing a series ranking the top 10 players at basically every position across the league. Earlier in the week, they did quarterbacks. Number one was Patrick Mahomes. Number two was Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady was third. We discussed in this very program how, honestly, I think Brady should have been second. And this is a survey that ESPN did with coaches, executives, scouts, and players, a panel of 50 people from those four areas, and an overall assessment of who is the best player now for 2021. That was the idea. It's not a long-term view. It's not an assessment of past performance. Right now, who are the best quarterbacks? And again, they had Brady third a year ago. The year before, he was seventh. And I think three was too low. Here's what they had at tight end. Number one, George Kittle, Niners. Any issues there? We all agree with that, right?
Yep.
Well, give me number two.
Okay, Travis Kelce second. Darren,
I might argue him one over Kittle. I think that's close. But okay. Yeah, those are the top two. Clear.
Okay, then Darren Waller third.
I'd have him too. I think he's a monster. And if he was on a team that was more relevant and that didn't find a way to get in their own way, he'd be amazing.
Mark Andrews fourth.
Baltimore, right? Yeah.
Yep. T.J. Hockenson, Detroit, fifth.
Good.
Dallas Goedert, Philadelphia, sixth.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith yet?
No.
Wait a minute. Go back one.
Dallas Goedert?
No, before that?
T.J. Hockenson.
Oh, no. Okay, Hunter Henry's not there. Okay, sorry. No, I haven't heard him yet.
Okay, seven, Hunter Henry. New England Patriots.
I would definitely have him ahead of Dallas Goedert.
Would you?
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of similar?
Yeah, I have no problem with Henry being listed behind him. I just think now you're getting into schmeh players.
How good is T.J. Hockenson?
I think he's pretty good. Was he a top 10 pick?
Okay, but again, yeah. I don't care what pick he is. I'm asking how's he been in the league?
Good.
He's been okay.
No, he's been good.
Good.
Is he a franchise-altering talent?
Well, no, I don't know, but he's better than the other guys we're talking about.
Okay, number eight, Evan Engram.
Ugh.
Oh, stone hands.
Can't catch. Yeah, I was just going to say. Exactly.
Nine, Jonnu Smith.
No, that's probably not good for him. I think Engram sucks.
Okay, last year, Jonnu Smith was listed as honorable mention. Honorable mention last year.
All right, well, he cracked the top 10. Things are looking up.
Moving yeah. Up. No, I think there's every chance, though, that he will just lapse right back. 10th, Zach Ertz. Would you rather have Zach Ertz, Jonnu Smith, or Hunter Henry?
Ertz would not make my... No.
You're I'm down on Ertz.
Yeah, Ertz is done.
Okay, yeah. He slipped.
Yeah, yep. I mean... 2 years ago, Zach Ertz is, you know, top five on this list. I think he's done.
How do you feel about the kid with Miami, Mike Gesicki?
I like him.
I was surprised he wasn't higher.
Okay. Noah Fant, Denver, do you like him?
Definitely surprised he wasn't higher.
Okay. So all I'm getting at is this. When you look at these tight ends, there's a clear two or three guys at the top of the league that everyone would pretty much concede, right? That you look at it and you say George Kittle, Travis Kelce, yes, Darren Waller, Murray, you love him.
I think he's nasty.
Okay. Mark Andrews, to me, is pretty good. It goes up and down a little bit, but obviously that also relates to the quarterback.
I think he's kind of a victim of the offense there, to be honest.
Okay, Hockenson, talented kid, been had Matthew Stafford as quarterback. Is that going to get better or worse for T.J. Hockenson?
I don't know, maybe better because Goff can't throw past like 5 yards. Yeah.
So all I'm saying is once you get past, call it Waller, once you get past there.
Yeah, schmeh.
Yeah, it's kind of a hodgepodge. You can make a case for anyone, really.
I mean, if they had signed Dallas Goedert, would we be doing cartwheels?
Probably Patriots fans would be. Yeah.
I just think that the whole argument of look at all the weapons they've added is purely as it relates to what they had in the past. That if you look across the league, none of the receivers they added were top guys at their position.
But again, Mass, just because of how hideous it was the last two seasons, not just last year, because again, it was basically the same roster offensively in 2019. I'm not going to hold it against people for being all jazzed up for actually spending money and adding to this offense when it has sucked
for
two straight seasons.
I'm just telling you, we're overrating the talent that they have.
Well, and now that we have, you know, the benefit of some perspective now, right? Like, while it was happening, it was like, woo! Like, everybody was all excited. You know, Beetle was fist pumping. Like, you know, like... It was exciting then, but like, take a step back and look at it now. You have a couple of tight ends who are barely top 10 in the league, and those were like your signature offseason signings. You still have Cam Newton, we think, maybe Mac Jones. You signed, speaking of stone hands with Evan Engram, Nelson Agholor and like Kendrick Bourne. People are going nuts for that.
Engram had 8 drops last year.
Awful.
And he's ranked ahead of Jonnu Smith.
That sounds low, yeesh. By the way. Matthew Judon, nice signing. Baltimore has a pretty good track record of not letting guys get away. They're not perfect. You know, I don't want to do the thing Patriots fans do with Bill Belichick and who's ever done anything anywhere else. But, like, you kind of look at what they did. They upgraded. They're better. But how much better? I think we way blew that out of proportion just because the money that was getting thrown around on day one, we all got giddy. Looking back, yeah, I mean, they have a couple of nice so-so tight ends, nothing more.
I mean, I look at it and I say, and this is unfair to Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and maybe even Agholor and Bourne. This is a little unfair. If they had Brady as the quarterback, I'd say they're fine. they're fine. Brady will find a way to get these guys the ball. They'll make it work, and they'll figure it out. No problem. But you add the fact that they don't have a quarterback on top of it? Not really. And I look at it and say, these aren't the kind of guys who elevate quarterbacks. Bourne and Aguilar are not the kind of receivers that will elevate a quarterback. And the tight ends, I question it. I'm sorry. I don't know if Hunter Henry's really that good. I think everybody loves Hunter Henry in the fantasy world because there's just always this idea that he was going to pop and emerge every one of these years. There's always this hype around a guy like Hunter Henry. I don't think he's ever really fulfilled it.
Oh, I think he's a moose. I like him.
And Jonnu Smith? I don't know. He already pulled a hamstring.
Man, that's not great. I do like reading here, so I did pull up this behind the paywall article here. An NFL coordinator said about Jonnu Smith, you can use him a gazillion different ways, blocking at all levels, jet sweeps, motion, and he's improved as a receiver. I hate to think they're going to kind of waste him in the running game, but all that other stuff, I mean, if he's improved as a receiver.
So they're paying him $10 million to block?
Well, no. I mean, he is great after the catch, but right, I agree. You're paying him more on potential. Can you, Marie, I was just pulling that story up, and I have to log in to get sure. behind the paywall. What was the comp for Hunter Henry in that same story? I was trying to think of it. And it was basically like, you know.
Oh, he's a young, more dynamic version of Kyle Rudolph, who I always kind of liked.
That's kind of a big stiff who, like, and they say it right in the story, like, no separate, like, productive, but no separation, like, I don't know. I think Hunter Henry's a nice player.
An AFC exec said, quote, he is what he is. Not great all around, right. But will wow you in the passing game with great hands.
It is what it is. Was that Bill? Bill being right. quoted on his own player? Like, those two guys, just they haven't been that productive. And I don't know how much more productive they're going to get when Cam, like, Henry was with Herbert last year and the numbers weren't that great.
I mean, the knock on is he gets dinged up.
Like he's been hurt a lot. Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, good. No, Bill loves that. He loves guys that, again, availability is more important than ability. Oh, that'll play really well down there if neither one of these guys can play 16 games. That just occurred to me. Oh, that's great. Let's have the two tight end offense, except we can never have both of them on the field at the same time.
If nothing else, I'm sorry, but like that, I'm like offended that Evan Engram is on this list. He stinks. Top 10? Maybe it means the tight. Maybe you might be right here, Maz, because maybe the tight ends do kind of blow in the league.
So this is what I'm telling you. I think it's really like three guys at the top of the list, and then everybody else, the next 10, are kind of in a pile.
And now you got two of them.
Yeah, yeah. If nice. They can stay on the field at the same time, right. Jones, don't forget that part of it.
Jonnu Smith almost made it through minicamp, almost.
Which really brings you to the question of how much better is the Patriots offense going to be? How much better is it going to be? And where's it going to be in the standing of the league? Like if I were to say to you, Murray, where does this offense have to rank in order for them to be good? Okay, define good however you want. But let's say a playoff team threatened for the division. Where does their offense have to rank in production to be for them to have a good year?
Do you want me to answer that now?
Yeah, answer it now.
I think, you know, 12th at worst.
Middle of the pack,
yeah.
Average?
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere in the average area. Yeah. I think we'd all take average.
An average offense with a good defense should be a good recipe for success.
Because I think the strength of this team will be their defense and special teams. And if the offense is around 13, 14, that might be good enough.
Yeah, middle of the pack. I agree, middle of the pack. Well, believe it or not, there is a sports book out there that actually has odds on who the worst offenses in the NFL are going to be.
Is it just Joe Murray in the parking lot?
Yeah, it's from the Murray and Lipschatz sports play. what's their the
bankroll
boys? Right. The bankroll.com is where you can find those odds. But we'll tell you. There's a reason we're telling you. Jones knows. Maybe the Patriots are better than you think, or maybe not. I mean, could be either one. Jones has your headlines. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Maz.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Are you still that guy? Early in the season, before you dealt with COVID, there were signs of that player that we grow to love in the NFL. Like, do you really feel physically, mentally, you're still that guy?
I think it's no proving that right now. And that's where I'm at mentally. That's where I'm at. you know, and understanding that, you know, now with multiple, well, I'd say a couple months before the season, everybody's looking for something to get excited about or rave about or just say, oh, man, that's BS. We don't need him to be talking like this, or he doesn't need to be talking like this in early July. But, you know, the truth is I'm doing everything that I know to get myself to the position where I know where I need to be. And that's just to put this team in the best situation to win football games. And that's all that matters.
Once again, Cam Newton with Keyshawn Johnson this morning. One of the phrases he used a couple of times in that interview was my wheelhouse. Get in my wheelhouse. So to me, the message there that he's been getting from the Patriots is do what you do best. That's what we want you to do. We want you to do what you do best. And I think that that covers an array of things, one of which is his ability to run. Another is whatever passes are most comfortable for him. They want him to do the things that he does best, which is fine. But at the end of the day, whether Newton's a quarterback or Mac Jones is a quarterback, and we can debate that certainly, but with Mac Jones is going to be a learning curve. With Newton, I think there's a ceiling. There's clearly a floor, which they hit basically last year. But there's a ceiling. And the question is, can you get to the point where you're average? Because I think their defense, if everybody's there, and that includes Stephon Gilmore, if everybody is there with Dante Hightower back and Matthew Judon and Kyle Van Noy and the improvements on the defensive line in the front seven, you look at that and say that defense has a chance to be good. It's going to be a defense-first team either way. So I did. I asked Murray before the break, where does the offense have to get to? Like, where do they have to rank in order for the Patriots to be at their best? And I think we agree that somewhere in the middle of the pack. Average.
Yeah, I said at worst maybe 12, but 12, 13, 14, around that. Yeah, middle of the pack.
And Murray, this goes back, too, to that discussion, remember, about Bill Belichick talking about, well, we can win without Tom Brady. Give us one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, and right, we can win. We can win with that kind of guy. 15 is average. So can you get Cam Newton to 15? My feeling is no.
Yeah, same.
No.
Can Mac Jones be 15 in his rookie year? I don't know. Maybe, but I doubt it.
I think you have a better chance of that happening with him than Cam Newton at this
way
point
better
in his career.
As
way
do
better.
I. As do I.
Which is why they should have signed someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But this all brings us to an item that Vinny Crouch, our producer on the simulcast at NBC Sports Boston, linked to this morning. DraftKings has odds on the worst offense. Who's going to be the worst offense in the NFL? Number one, the Houston Texans.
Sounds right.
Yeah, with their seven quarterbacks that they have.
Right.
Okay, number two, the Jets.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Murray. I, you know, let's see what Zach Wilson can do, but fine. Okay, who else?
Number three, the Lions.
Yeah, that sounds right.
With Goff,
they have like no receivers, too. Although my man TJ Hockenson is there.
Number four, the Jags.
I don't know. Let's see what it looks like with Trevor Lawrence.
I like that, too.
Number five, the Bears.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay.
Who's the Bears quarterback again?
Well, Mitch, it's right now.
Fields. Oh, right.
Yeah, Dalton. It's stupid. Dalton.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Orton.
Dalton.
Right.
And then it'll likely be Fields by like week five, I'd imagine.
Okay. And obviously this all relates to who the quarterbacks are right now, because the Eagles are number six. And we just played some sound for you a little while ago. Adam Schefter thinking that the Eagles could be the primary suitor for Deshaun Watson if and when Deshaun Watson can get through his off-field troubles. So the Eagles would be six. The Giants, seven.
Yeah. The Bears, I'm thinking about this. Even though Dalton does blow, but they still have Allen Robinson. Matt Nagy is an offensive-minded guy. Like,
that's a bad offense.
Yes.
I mean, I like Fields, so like maybe Fields really elevates it, but that's outside of Robinson. I don't think they have much. Who'd you just say? Seven?
Seven was the Giants.
That's a bad offense.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
The Bengals, eight.
That sounds really low. Really low.
Washington, nine.
Okay, yeah.
And 10th worst, the New England Patriots. 20-1.
Yeah, I'd put the Patriots definitely behind the Bengals.
Kay. So would I. If Burrow comes back and he's healthy, I know that offensive line's a sieve, but they got some weapons for him there.
You mean you'd move the Patriots into a worse category than
correct
the Bengals?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'd have the Patriots like, yeah, 7th or 8th. Like, there's a couple offenses on there I like better than the Patriots.
So this has the Patriots listed really as, in all likelihood, at least based on odds, the 22nd or 23rd worst offense in the league.
Bottom 10 offense.
Last year, I think that they were 27th, 28th, something like that.
Was that good?
About barely.
Huh.
Okay, barely. And most of those metrics were passing. So they were, but again, if they're the 10th worst offense in the league, that's not good enough. After all the money that they invested, if all they get is to 10th worst and they're 23rd or something like that.
Yeah, Bill should be expecting a phone call from Robert. If that's where the offense goes to and you spent 200 plus million of his money, he should be expecting a phone call from Robert because I would not be happy.
I mean, that is not, that's just not good enough. They got to do better than that. The 10th worst offense in the league. So that tells you, and the reason I do think this is significant, it also tells you that they look at the weapons, the quote unquote weapons that the Patriots added and said, well, you don't really get a lot of bang for your buck there. You know, you were one of the four or five worst offenses in the league to begin with. Now you're one of the 10 worst after all that money. So let's see how it goes. But I don't think people are impressed with obviously the quarterback, but more importantly, and when I say people, I'm talking odds makers.
I think it has to do with the quarterback more than anything else.
Probably, Murray, because I think the one thing you could look at with all the teams on that list is quarterback. Texans, we don't know. Jets, rookie. Lions, Goff. Jags, rookie. Bears, Andy Dalton.
Or a rookie.
Right. Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Giants, Daniel Jones. Bengals, Burrow, who's coming off an injury, correct, but looked good when he was out there. The Washington football team, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then the Patriots. So it is the one common thread, but I also would look a lot of at those other teams and say it's not like they have great skill players either. Now, again, it goes hand in hand with the quarterback, but you get the idea. 10th worst offense in the league? Not good enough.
No, well, I think McLaurin's nasty in Washington.
So true. I just 10th worst offense in the league, they need their defense to be really, really good, right? And that's where the whole Gilmore-Hightower thing comes into play. Why does Gilmore feel like he has leverage? Because he knows the offense stinks.
Absolutely.
Why is Hightower not going to play ball with a pay cut? Because he knows the offense stinks and Bill needs those guys. Because if you're a bottom 10 offense with a giant question mark at quarterback and you don't have Gilmore or Hightower, like, what are you?
Yeah, either way, it's a defense-first team, Jones. It's a defense-first team. But if that's all their offense can do is get to bottom 10, stay in the bottom 10 in the league, that's not good enough.
Well, my point is if you're hanging your hat on your defense and it's a bottom 10 offense, you can't even play good defense without those two. Maybe it'd be ahead of the offense, but that's not going to be a good defense without Gilmore and or Hightower.
Yeah, and you're not going to have much of a chance against good teams. Greg is in Brockton. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Maz, thanks for taking my call. My biggest problem with this conversation is with the rankings, they don't include championships. And a lot of times it depends on what site, what people are doing these rankings. Okay.
Wait a minute. Greg, hold on, Greg, hold on 1 second.
Which rankings?
When you say it doesn't include championships, what do you mean?
Right. They're ranking Brady at third, but he kicked Aaron Rodgers' ass. Whoever finished ahead of him, Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, he beat them in the playoffs. And he won the championship.
Okay, so you're talking about the quarterback rankings. You're saying Brady should be first. I'm talking about the offense rankings and the tight end rankings. And that was a call from earlier, so understandable miscommunication there.
It's a call from Tuesday.
Yeah. But I will say that if all the Patriots are going to get out of all these acquisitions is an offense that is still among the bottom 10 in the league, as you said, Jones, if I'm Robert Kraft, I am pissed. Pissed.
Well, you've said since pretty much the off season and that big spending spree and all this started, Jones, you think they're going to be what, maybe two games better anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be right on the cusp of a playoff spot. And
so, what do you get them at, like 9-8?
Yes, exactly. So, if you're telling me Mac Jones is the quarterback, I'll feel pretty good about their trajectory, and maybe I'll argue they're a playoff team. If I know Cam Newton's out there, I don't know. I don't even know if they get to 9-8, to be honest. But I kind of think 9-10 wins is their ceiling. And that's if a lot of things go right. Like Gilmore doesn't hold out. Mac Jones hits. Like, that's what I kind of think their ceiling is.
Brandon in Boston on Cam Newton and the Patriots offense. Go ahead, Brandon.
You guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So I need you guys to be a little optimistic about Cam Newton. I hate to be this guy, but we have to talk about the COVID, the opt-outs. He was dealing with a lingering injury that, he was holding off.
Yep. From five years ago. Yep.
I think he addressed all those issues. The team went out there and spent money on offense and defense. I'm going to make a bold prediction for this team. And I'm a Rams fan. I think this team's going to go 12-5, and they're going to surprise everybody.
That would surprise me.
I'd be stunned.
Give Cam Newton a chance to prove himself. I think he's going to play fairly well.
I am the fat guy at the Citi Field, the Mets fan that everyone knows, the with the thumbs down. You bring up Cam, whatever Cam spin you have, and I've been saying this for like a year plus now, because I still can't believe he's back here. Uh-huh. Whatever Cam spin you have, consider it ignored. COVID, no real training camp, didn't have time to learn the playbook, he's been dealing with injuries, whatever it is.
No evidence.
My questions to you then, my counter to you are, why can't he throw to the right? Why can't he read a blitz? Why does he look so glacial? Because he's done.
Why'd he get worse?
Right. Why did he get worse as the season went along? So thumbs down. Just as soon as you bring up, you got to give Cam a chance. Nope, thumbs down. Got nothing else. Boo.
I mean, the whole thing about COVID and him getting derailed and the opt-outs and everything else, like under normal circumstances, I'd say yes. Did you watch him play?
Right.
He's done. He's done.
It's the front side blitz, too. Like, okay, all right, maybe you want to blame the left tackle. Maybe it was a little thin there on the offensive line. God gets behind you. Hey, what are you going to do? The front side blitz?
Well, right.
Throwing the ball off your offensive lineman's helmets?
Well, have you seen him move?
When you're like 6'6"?
Right.
How's that even possible?
So, like, the throwing is horrible. At least you'd be like, okay, well, he's been a dynamic rusher. He's not even close to a dynamic rusher.
He's not explosive anymore.
He's like LeGarrette Blount on the goal line. Arcan says this all the time.
He's yardage back.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Yeah, he's Mike Allstott hammering away at the goal line. That's like what he is now.
Pour a glass of Cabernet, light up a cigar, and host that show. Sip and smoke. It's a good show. That should be your career, dude. Like, you're a good, respected dude, snappy dresser. Go host your new show, Sip and Smoke, on YouTube. That should be your career at this point.
And they did just draft a big running back too, so they're not even going to ask Newton to do that, I don't think. But 617-779-0985, will continue with your calls. And big debut coming up tonight in New York, I think. Big debut. We'll get to that at the top of the hour as well here on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Adam Jones has been giving us headlines throughout the course of the day. We're still waiting on a starting lineup for the Red Sox tonight in New York as they open the second half. For all of Major League Baseball, in fact. That's the only game tonight. Red Sox at Yankees. Obvious interest there is whether or not Jaron Duran will be in the starting lineup, but we don't have one yet for you out of New York. As soon as we do, we'll let you know. In the interim, we're going to zip through a couple of calls here, and we're going to get to the Red Sox in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to Todd in New Hampshire on the Celtics, which we discussed earlier, when the NBA, really. Go ahead, Todd. Okay, Todd is not there.
Oh, boy.
And what that sounds like.
Nope, I don't think it is. I think Todd was there early. And, I think he just dropped. So let's go to Tony in Stoneham. Tony, you there?
Guns N' Roses is coming to Fenway. Win tickets now with the 105.7 WROR Ticket Weasel.
So does this happen at the same time every day? Have we noticed any pattern?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's like right before 4 o'clock. This would be kind of prime time to give something away.
So
right?
Like sun flares are knocking us out or something?
No. I'm just saying the ticket giveaways, Murray. Yeah. They're probably at 4 o'clock.
Ticket weasels every day at the same time.
I mean, maybe it just could be incompetence. But who's to say, really? I mean,
incompetence on whose part? Ryan?
I've probably said too much.
Okay, so you don't think I'm punching up the wrong calls?
I'm not you or not anyone here.
Okay, I do find it interesting though that if another station in the building is doing a giveaway that we can't take calls.
That's what I've been told. I
find it 1,000% believable.
I can't prove it, but that seems to be the case. Is the contest line lighting up?
No, it isn't.
It's
actually
not again. So maybe that's not it. I don't know.
So here's an interesting thing. Now I have two guys named Pete from Worcester.
Oh, Pete and Pete,
who want to talk about the same thing that are on two different lines.
I mean, they literally are. They say the same thing.
Literally. In fact, I think it's the same guy. He just called back because one of them says he's called 49 times and the other one says he's called 50. So I got to go with the guy who's called 50 times.
Yeah, right? I go with that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's punch him up and see if that works. My chances, I think, are better with that guy because the 49 guy is probably gone.
Yeah.
Pete, you there?
Yeah, I know Pete. Hey. He's a good guy, that other Pete.
Yeah, Peter. All
right, what do you got, Pete?
Well, I just wanted to talk real quick about the resurgence of baseball around Worcester and Jared Duran, and specifically, like he's a rock star, man. Like you should see the way the new park has come together, and I mean everybody just loves that kid. He has a real presence. And the other thing I wanted to touch on real quick is just lately on the show, especially been talking about how baseball's like slumped. I've had more kids sign up for Little League this year than like any other year. Like you can't buy a pack of baseball cards at the store. And I think the ratings are just because it's kind of unaffordable to even watch the Red Sox on SNL. I think most people don't have that kind of money. Like if they cut their cable, you know, they're not willing to pay $90 just to watch, you know, a couple baseball games.
Okay, so Pete, I'll tell you what. Interesting about the kids signing up for Little League and the cards. You want to know my theory?
What's that now?
Well, last year was COVID. Kids were cooped up in the house. Nobody could do anything. So you know what the parents said to them? You're not playing video games this year. You're playing Little League. That's what I think.
I do think there is some buzz, though, with younger people and even little kids with some of these stars in baseball. I'm just basing this on seeing jerseys. I'll tell you right now, like, it's funny that this guy just said this. And I saw one of these kids today and just yesterday. I've seen two little kids, like fourth graders maybe,
yeah,
with Tatis jerseys on.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and when I saw them initially, I'm like, oh, maybe their little league team is the Padres. I'm like, that's definitely not real. And then I walk past the kid, and sure enough, Tatis Jr. in the back. I'm like, holy crap. I was surprised.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. If I were baseball, I'd be hitching my wagon to that kid, to Tatis, because he's got it. He's got the it factor. He's got the look. Did you see him show up at the All-Star game wearing this pink suit? They did like a red carpet thing.
Yeah, the purple carpet is what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were in Colorado. But he wore this pink suit. He's got, you know, the hair and the personality and the flair and the whole nine yards. You can understand why kids would be drawn to Tatis. So if I were baseball, I'd be pumping the crap out of Fernando Tatis. But the product, the problem is rather that the product still blows. Nonetheless, I do think there is something about a young player hitting the scene that is different in baseball than a lot of other things that happen. I'll explain that when we come back, because Jared Duran is in all probability going to make his major league debut tonight. If not, it'll be tomorrow. He joins the Red Sox tonight in New York. Murray was gone or about to leave when this story broke at the end of the show yesterday. So I want to get his thoughts on Jared Duran. We'll introduce some baseball to the discussion next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.